Welcome to Zane's Adventure Zone, the ultimate podcast for curious kids like you. I'm your host, Zane, using my AI voice. I am a six-year-old adventurer who's traveled to amazing places around the world and loves to learn about fascinating things like the Titanic, Big Ben, space shuttles, planes, trucks, trains, and even shipwrecks. Join me on a journey of discovery as we explore incredible destinations, remarkable historical landmarks, and incredible vehicles. In each episode, we'll dive into exciting stories, fun facts, and cool adventures related to all the things I love. Whether we're uncovering the mysteries of ancient shipwrecks, soaring through the skies in planes, or chugging along on epic train rides, there's always something new and amazing to learn. In this episode, we'll be going on an exciting voyage to uncover the secrets of the most legendary ship of all time, the Titanic. We'll learn how this massive ocean liner was built, why people called it unsinkable, and what really happened on its first and final voyage across the frigid North Atlantic in 1912. So get ready to set sail into the past, full steam ahead to the ship of dreams. Our journey begins back in 1909, in the bustling shipyard of Belfast, Ireland. This is where construction began, on the enormous hull of a brand new ocean liner. This ship would be the second member of the Olympic class built for the famous British shipping company, White Star Line. At the time, it was going to be the largest moving man-made object ever built. The finished ship would stretch nearly 900 feet long and stand over 100 feet tall. That's longer than three whole football fields laid end to end. Building the massive steel hull took over 3 years and required heavy machinery and thousands of skilled shipbuilders, engineers, and construction workers laboring around the clock. The ship's revolutionary design was led by top naval engineers like Alexander Carlisle and Thomas Andrews. They came up with special safety features never seen before in ships this size. The hull was divided into 16 airtight compartments that could be sealed off from each other with watertight doors. So if the hull was ever breached or damaged, the water would be contained in only one or two compartments instead of flooding the entire ship. This advanced, watertight subdivision was a groundbreaking innovation at the time. Many claimed it would make the new ship practically unsinkable if it ever got into an accident out at sea. When the massive hull was finally completed and outfitted in 1912, the ship was given the name RMS Titanic. Next, work began on building the interior spaces and fitting Titanic with the most luxurious furnishings and decor. The goal was to create interiors so plush and elegant that they would rival the finest hotels and mansions on land. The focal point was the gorgeous main staircase that swept across seven decks of the ship under a dazzling glass dome. The first-class smoking lounge was decorated in the style of a Georgian gentleman's club, complete with marble fireplaces, plush chairs, and dark polished wood walls. Other first-class amenities included Turkish baths, a heated swimming pool, a gym with rowing machines, a squash court for playing racquetball, and a grand cafe that was the height of Parisian style with wicker chairs on a tiled patio. Down in third class, Titanic offered simple cabins that were still far nicer than third class spaces on other ships of the era. Plus, there was access to expansive open deck space and a smoking room to socialize. The exterior of Titanic was painted a deep black with a white and yellow trim. The hull had four towering funnels that vented the engine exhaust and made the ship visible from miles away. There were also two giant masts that held the lookout crow's nests up high, along with wires for the Marconi wireless radio antennas that allowed communication over long distances. In April 1912, after 3 years of design and construction, Titanic set out on its maiden voyage from Southampton, England, bound for New York City. On board for this historic crossing were over 2,200 passengers and crew, ranging from some of the wealthiest and most prominent people in the world, traveling in first-class luxury, to immigrants in third class, hoping for a better life in America. With such an impressive ship that was proclaimed unsinkable, the voyage was sure to be the grandest and most spectacular journey across the Atlantic yet attempted. At least, that's what they had expected. But we all know that's not exactly how it turned out. On the night of April 14th, 4 days after leaving England, Titanic was speeding through the dark, icy waters of the North Atlantic Ocean. By 11:40 p.m., the ship had already received multiple warnings from other nearby vessels about icebergs blocking its path ahead. But the captain kept Titanic steaming ahead at nearly full speed, around 22 knots, or about 26 miles per hour. This was standard practice at the time. Ships were on tight schedules across the Atlantic, and icebergs weren't seen as a major threat to large vessels. That night, visibility was dangerously low. There was no moonlight, and the seas were unusually calm and flat. That made it even harder for lookouts to scan the horizon for hazards ahead. Frederick Fleet, the lookout up in the crow's nest, spotted a slight haze growing directly in their path. But as Titanic raced closer, he suddenly realized this was no haze at all. It was a massive wall of ice. Fleet rang the warning bell 3 times and phoned the bridge immediately. First Officer Murdoch, who was commanding the ship, took emergency action. He ordered the ship's wheels spun hard to port in an evasive turn. And the engines were put into full reverse, attempting to slow the ship. But it was too little, too late. Just 37 seconds passed between sighting the iceberg and colliding with it. The starboard or right side of Titanic scraped against the monstrous iceberg, rupturing and buckling the steel plates along the hull below the waterline. Passengers lucky enough to be awake felt a slight shudder and heard a loud scraping noise as chunks of ice tumbled onto the forward decks. But with such a massive ship, most didn't even wake up or realize that Titanic had struck anything. Yet deep down in the bowels of the ship, the gashes along the starboard side began quickly letting seawater flood into the front compartments. Thomas Andrews, the lead architect who designed Titanic, rushed down to the damaged area to assess the flooding. He had horrifying news for Captain Smith. 5 of the watertight compartments were rapidly filling with water. Titanic was specifically designed to remain buoyant if up to 4 compartments were breached. But 5 compartments was too many. Andrews estimated the ship would sink completely in under 2 hours. Making matters worse, Titanic did not have nearly enough lifeboat space for the over 2,200 passengers and crew on board. Andrews gave the grim order to start loading women and children into the boats immediately. There simply wasn't enough time to wait for help. The largest ship ever built, proclaimed to be unsinkable, was going down on its very first voyage across the Atlantic. Over the next hour, as the bow sank deeper and deeper into the freezing water, passengers and crew began to realize this was a life-or-death emergency, not just a temporary problem. Many women and children were hurried into the lifeboats against their will, while men courageously stepped aside to give up their seats without being asked. There were emotional scenes of families saying tearful goodbyes, lovers being separated, and parents tucking their children into life jackets. The ship's orchestra set up on the boat deck to play cheerful music, trying to ease tensions as the evacuation unfolded. But before long, they were waist-deep in frigid water, playing with tears in their eyes to the very end. An hour after striking the iceberg, the grand ocean liner with all its ornate rooms and luxurious features was tilted with the bow underwater and propellers rising into the night sky. Finally, at 2:20 a.m., everything went silent as Titanic broke in two. The forward half slipped under the waves, while the stern bobbed upright for a few more minutes before its own dramatic plunge to the bottom. Over 1,500 men, women, and children lost their lives in the freezing 28-degree water that night. Only 700 were rescued in the half-filled lifeboats that made it away safely as Titanic disappeared. In the years since, the wreck of Titanic lying in two sections on the seafloor has become a haunting reminder of human arrogance and the dangers of overconfidence. Its demise shocked the world, and the story continues to captivate people more than a century later. Dramatic paintings were made of the sinking even before all the survivors made it ashore. Movies like James Cameron's 1997 film Titanic brought the tragedy vividly to life for new generations. And expeditions to visit and photograph the wreck site attract great public interest even today. So what are the big lessons we can take away from that cold April night in 1912? For one, we learned that giant ships proclaimed to be unsinkable really can suffer catastrophic accidents, no matter how confident the designers may be. Titanic had innovative safety features for her time, but nothing is ever 100% foolproof. We also learned that when disaster strikes, women and children really should be evacuated to safety first, with men sacrificing gallantly for the greater good. The Women and Children First protocol was embraced by Titanic's crew and most of the gentlemen passengers when loading the lifeboats. Only 34% of the men survived, compared to 74% of the women and 52% of the children. And after the tragedy, major reforms were made to maritime safety rules worldwide. All ships were required to have enough lifeboats for everyone on board, no exceptions. Mandatory lifeboat drills became a standard practice over time. An international ice patrol was established to monitor icebergs hidden along major Atlantic trade routes and warn ships of dangers ahead. What happened that night was a wake-up call for an industry that had become complacent about its large ocean liners being unsinkable. The loss of Titanic made clear how much safety improvements were still needed, even with the most modern vessels. Of course, another lesson is that people from all walks of life can exhibit great bravery, sacrifice, and compassion for others when a crisis strikes. The burdens are borne unequally, but heroic actions shine through. Though the story has tragic dimensions, it also gives us hope to see how human beings can rise to the occasion with courage and grace when the moment calls for it. The disaster will forever be a sobering reminder of fragility in even the grandest of human achievements. But Titanic also symbolizes resilience, our will to learn, to rebuild, and to move forward. Its memory pushes us to be vigilant, to plan ahead, and to take care of one another when calamity falls. So that's the true legend of Titanic in a nutshell. From its birth in an Irish shipyard as the largest vessel afloat at the time, to its fateful end at the bottom of the Atlantic just 4 days into its maiden voyage. I hope you enjoyed going back in time with me to explore the majestic ship and relive its final hours. If you're keen to embark on more historical adventures, join me for upcoming episodes where we'll investigate the secrets behind incredible landmarks like the Taj Mahal, the wild story of inventors Thomas Edison and Nikola Tesla's electric rivalry, and so much more. The past is filled with countless stories waiting to inspire us if we just take a closer look. Thanks for listening, and bon voyage, fellow adventurers. See you on our next journey back in time.